Hello and welcome. Now, John, we've talked about this before. We've been talking a lot about taxation with the new tax laws that are going on and really with what your specialty is, which is to really help people at least see the taxes that they're spending and how they might have some conventional wisdom challenged. You are going to challenge our conventional wisdom today. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right, let's jump in. Tell us what's going on, man.
So every episode we talk about one of the primary goals of any financial strategy is not only to reduce the current taxation, but to develop strategies that are going to reduce future taxation, not by postponing or deferring, but actually developing strategies that actually reduce taxes. And I think it's you have to step back and you have to look at things from a macro perspective. And we as people in society have been taught to focus on what I like to call micro or the small picture. And it goes, you know, I went to Bentley when I was a college. It was a Bentley College back in the day, back in the 80s. And it was primarily an accounting school. And I went as an accounting major. And accounting is a very interesting subject, I'll just put it that way. And I had one of your prerequisites is you had to take a macroeconomic class. And I walk into the class, it's four or five classes in, and the professor, Marshall Gennaro, I think he was 80 then, he says, think with me. And he started to expand on the possible outcomes and the macro view of the world. And all of a sudden I got excited. And you know, people would say economics got excited. What's wrong with you, Johnny? But the idea was all of a sudden, all the things I was doing in accounting actually made more sense because I was looking at it on a macro basis. And quickly, I got rid of the accounting major and went over to what Bentley had at the time, which they still have, is an economics finance major. So focus on economics and a focus on finance. Mm-hmm. And what we're able to do is to kind of apply that. And that thinking, he would say in his class, think with me. And you go through the process of thinking because that's how bigger picture things happen. That's kind of what I want to do today. And I want you to, most people that I encounter in our practice are paying currently more taxes than they should, regardless of what tax law we're in 2017 or beyond. And their strategies are actually increasing their future taxation. And that's kind of what I want to get. In this podcast, I want to get people to think strategically about what they're doing and focus on what's happening. And you've heard me say this, there are two things that I'm going to bring up today. One is we've all heard about the miracle of compound interest. What comes with that is a concept called compound taxation that most people do not discuss. We're going to discuss that. And the concept of a short-term mortgage, there is so much information out there in advertisements about paying less interest and prepaying mortgages, and this has to be the best strategy for everybody. And the combination of these two strategies are creating a dramatic increase in the amount of taxes that people are paying.
All right, John, I have a quick question for you. If you don't mind, you have used the word macro often. So before we jump into compound taxation and short-term mortgages, would you mind just taking a brief moment and explaining the difference? You're working with a financial services professional who has a macro view versus a micro view.
Okay. So a micro view would be, and I'm going to use the concept of a 15-year mortgage. The idea is that you're going to pay less interest and that's going to be a good thing in your financial strategy. And we're looking just at that one silo or one component of your financial strategy. When you look at the macro, you start to look at the big picture and you see that, well, if I'm not only going to pay more money to the bank, I'm going to pay more money to Uncle Sam in the form of taxation because I'll have less interest deduction and I will, and in other places, because I'm putting more money into that mortgage, I'm going to get less benefits with my dollar. In economics, the goal of efficient use of capital is to get the maximum amount of benefits for every dollar that I'm spending. Okay. So when you start thinking about it, the macro view wants to look at all the variables, where the micro view wants to look at only one variable and ignore everything else as if it doesn't exist. And the reality is, we live in a macro world. We make decisions in micro. And that is a fundamental problem that most people have, is we make different financial decisions at different times, at different stages of our lives with different people, and we're typically focused on singular decisions, a college plan, a retirement plan, a mortgage cancellation or debt repayment plan, or an asset allocation plan. We're ignoring the impact in other places. And what macro does is it looks at the ripple effect of other consequences, because everything has a consequence.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. So let's you already just touched on the short-term mortgage, but let's dive into these two major categories, compound taxation, and then let's finish up with the mortgages.
All right. So there's not a person that I have met in my career that does not want to pay less taxes, right? Matt, if I came to you today and said, strategy A, you're going to pay X taxes, and strategy B, you're going to pay half the amount of taxes, you would want to know that, correct?
That is correct.
When you go to your accountant, what's the primary focus of your conversation going to your accountant right now?
Yeah, what I'm going to be paying in taxes this year and what I can do to mitigate my tax liability for next year.
Right. And somehow we do the exact opposite. Okay. So what I thought would be interesting is I made a very simplistic macro strategy. And you can think about this as yourself and you can kind of change the numbers. But I wanted to make something, in essence, very concise and very tight. So you're 35 years old. You make $300,000 per year. You're in a 30% tax bracket, combined state, federal, whatever. Just make it 30%. Math is easy. You've accumulated $300,000 in a account that makes 4% interest for you. You have a $500,000 house with a $400,000, 4%. 15-year mortgage. The mortgage payment is $29.59 per month. Your lifestyle is $163,000, and you save $17,000 per year. Okay, so this is most of the people that are listening to this. You know, maybe it's a dual income family, but what I want you to understand is that let's pretend for a moment that over the next 15 years, you actually do not make any more money than the $300,000. That's a flatlined income. There's no inflation on anything. The reality is there's inflation on everything, right? And that would be the macro view. Okay. Does this make sense?
I'm actually nodding. You just can't see me. So keep going. Okay. You're doing great. Keep going, man.
All right. So if I look at year one, and I look at, I'm paying about $16,000 in mortgage interest, so my taxable income without other deductions comes down to about $285,000. I'm going to pay tax on the income of about $85,000. If I have $300,000 sitting at 4%, that generates $12,000 worth of interest, correct?
Correct.
In a 30% bracket, I've got on my tax return will go $12,000 worth of earned income, which will generate about $4,000 in taxes. So that first year, I'm taking my $17,000 and I'm putting it away, and I'm taking the $12,000 minus the $4,000 of interest, and I'm reinvesting it back into my plan. So I'm actually saving, between the interest and my saving, about $25,000. Now, that extra, what's happening is, as I go out in 5-year increments, assuming the income never went up, by year 5, my taxable income, instead of being 284, is 288, because my mortgage interest has dropped from 16 down to 12, good thing. But my interest on my account has compounded from 12,000, it's now 17,000. So now my tax, instead of being 4,000, it's 5,000. So as the wealth is compounding, the tax is compounding. So now I'm only, my savings rate, because of the increased taxes, has gone from 17 down to 15 because of the increased taxes. And that's, now when you start to look at the macro view, you might also think that the real estate tax might have gone up, the insurance might have gone up, and other things have gone up. So, but I want you to visualize this, that as you go out year one, year five, year 10, year 14, by year 14, the savings has dropped from 17 down to 12,000. And if you didn't have the interest income, you didn't have all these other things, you wouldn't be paying as much tax. So what we're looking at is that the strategy that I'm deploying in this situation, which is done by, you know, pretty much everybody, you are paying, you went, your tax on your interest went from 4,000 to 8,000. So your taxes doubled there. Your income taxes went from 85,000 to 90,000 because you're losing your deductions. So 10 years out, you're paying close to 10,000, you know, 15 years or 14 years out, you're paying close to $9,000 more in taxes. So the strategies, the combined strategies, are actually increasing your taxes, which is not what we want to have happen. So therefore, you have less money to do other things with. Now, the good thing is you've paid off your mortgage over this 15-year time frame.
Okay.
All right, which is a good thing, right? I'm debt free.
Well, see, I don't know because I have a feeling if I say yes, you're going to be like, well, so anyway, keep going.
So here's the macro strategy, right? So if you look at this and you think through the decision, if we change just one variable here, right? And the first variable is take the short-term mortgage and convert it to a long-term mortgage. Take it to a 30-year mortgage. And for simplicity's sake, everything's still 4%. So the 4% 30-year mortgage, the payment drops from $2,959 a month to $1,909. So in essence, you're now freeing up $12,000 in mortgage savings. Now, your decision was, I'm going to prepay the mortgage by making an extra $1,000 a month payment. That is a form of savings. No question, right?
Sure.
But is it an efficient use of your capital? Okay. So the same scenario, instead of, you know, in year one under the old strategy, the combination of the two, you were basically putting away $25,000. The combination of this, you're putting away $37,000 because you got an extra $12,000 to put away. By year 14, you were putting away $32,000 between the interest and your $12,000 savings. Now you're putting away $53,000. Okay. What's interesting is, and this is where the macro view starts to take place, if everything is linear, and when I say linear, meaning it's static, the 4% is the same interest rate all the way through, the house doesn't appreciate, you know, there's all of these linear conversations, you, under the old strategy, you would have accumulated about $700,000, $720,000 in the bank, which is great. You've accumulated, the house is paid for, and you got $723,000. In the other strategy, you would have accumulated $975,000. But you still have a mortgage that's worth about $255,000, and you've got about $255,000 more in cash.
Okay.
And on a linear micro basis, you walk away from that and you basically say, it doesn't matter, I'm at the same spot, right? Because I've got more money, but I still have a debt. But now you're in the driver's seat. And what I want to talk about is, what do you believe is going to happen to the interest rates over the next 15 years?
Oh, I think they're going to go up. I think not only are interest rates going to go up, but I think taxes are going to go up too. But that's just my two cents.
Right. Now, there's not a lot of people that I've spoken to that believe interest rates will stay the same or go down. most people are in the camp of interest rates are going to go up in the world, right? So if the goal happens and interest rates go up, which means my CDs and money market accounts and bonds, all the interest rates go up, that's good for our savings, right?
Yes.
So 15 years from now, I have, this is the macro, I have a 4% mortgage, and the interest rates 15 years from now, Matt, let's say they go to what? What do you want them to go to? They're not 4 anymore. They're much higher.
I mean, 7, 8% easy.
All right. So would I be better off with $970,000 at 7 or 8% or $700,000 at 7 or 8%?
Give me those numbers one more time.
So what person would you rather be? The person with $720,000 at 7% or the person with $975,000 making 7%?
Well, I'd rather be the second one. I'd rather be making 7% on $900,000, right?
Right. Now, if interest rates go to 7 or 8%, what do you think is going to happen to the value of your home? This is macro.
Well, I'm assuming the value of my home, I don't know. I mean, my gut says the home value would go down because it'd be more difficult for me to sell because interest rates are higher.
Right. I would think that also because the cost to own the house, if a new buyer comes in and they have to pay a 7% mortgage versus a 4% mortgage, the mortgage payment is dramatically more. So therefore, the home value might fall. Think about 1987 to 1997. Home rates were down 30% from the 1987 values by 1997. And I, you know, my own evidence of this is I bought a house in 1997. It had some structural issues that they had to provide full disclosure about. And what we saw was their original contract price plus all the improvements that they made to the house. And my wife and I were buying the house for about 30% less than what they paid for the house in 1987. So that was pretty interesting. So, you know, real estate does go down and it's in a nice neighborhood, et cetera, et cetera. But so you have to think through this for a second. If interest rates go down, this decision might or might not be a good idea. If interest rates stay the same, I'm sort of neutral. If interest rates go up dramatically, why would I ever want to pay off a 4% mortgage?
Well, okay. Interest rates historically have been so ridiculously low, and I'm not a soothsayer or an oracle or anything, but it really does seem to make logical sense, John, that interest rates are going to be going up. And so what I'm hearing is if interest rates go up, another macro view on this would also have to do with inflation, correct? So if interest rates go up, inflation's probably going to do the same. And if I'm borrowing money at 4%, right, on my home, it's almost turning, and I'm going to say this tongue in cheek, but it's almost free money because it's at basically the rate of inflation. Am I still macroing here or am I off?
No, you're still macroing, and it's you make a decision whether paying off the mortgage makes sense or not for you in the moment. Now, if you're 35 years old, 15 years from now, you might have 2-3 kids going to college. You want to increase liquidity, right? If inflation is super high, a $1,900 mortgage payment is substantially less. Now, here's the nonlinear conversation. Is liquidity is one of the most important parts of a financial plan. And the goal is to have more liquidity, which this achieves that. The goal is to have better tax utilization, which this achieves that. But now, you know, your dollars were going to pay off just a mortgage or a house, and you're getting this linear thing. Now the same dollars are accumulating money in an investment. You're paying less taxes, which is accumulating more money, and you're still going to pay off the mortgage, okay, if you want to pay off the mortgage, if it makes sense. Now, in 1981, the 10-year treasury was 15.8%.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, I'm a big fan of is there's a deeper picture here that we're not going to go into, but it's what is going on in your plan and the strategy we can show you how to reduce the taxes even further in the strategy, get more benefits for the dollars that you're spending, which in this, you know, in the one strategy, you're just simply getting, you know, a house paid for. The second strategy, you're getting more benefits, meaning you're getting the house paid for, plus you're accumulating money, plus you're making interest. And now you have opportunity money. So 5 years from now, you have an opportunity to open up a business, start your own business, buy a distressed piece of property. Well, with a $2,900 mortgage payment, I might feel strapped and may not feel what I'm doing is, you know, like it's a lot of risk. But with my mortgage payment's $1,000 a month less and I have more capital in the bank, I might be able to take advantage of that opportunity in a freer way with less pressure.
Sure. That makes sense.
Right? So now if I have the money in that investment that I go out and I do, what's the rate of return on a business? Now, you could do really well. You can do okay, or you can do poorly.
Right.
Right? But if you think about it, in an investment strategy, returns are not linear, okay? Meaning I don't get 4% every year in my investment. I don't get 4% every year in a CD. You know, 1981, I wasn't getting 15% in a CD every single year. That was a declining number, okay? But the reality is, if I get a non-linear return, which means, hey, the portfolio goes up 8% 1 year and it goes, you know, flat the following year and I have different pieces, my potential for making money with more money is the strategy that you're trying to get to, right?
Sure.
So you can always make a decision to prepay the mortgage, but 15 years from now, I've got my house paid for and the rates are 15%. We're back to 1981. To get access to the equity of my home, it's going to cost me 14, 15% interest to get access to that. All right.
Right.
So my money's in jail because I don't want to do that. I don't want to take money back out of the house. But if I'm forced to because of the liquidity features that are in my plan that need to happen, now I'm paying substantially more interest. I don't know. Nobody knows what's right. But what I do know is, if I came to you, Matt, this year and said, instead of paying $89,000 in taxes, I want you to pay $85,000 in taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Which one would you rather?
Well, unfortunately, you know, from learning from you here, I think I would have to ask a follow-up question, which would be, how is that going to, if I'm paying $4,000 less or whatever the number was with the quick math there, is that going to impact me really negatively later down the road? Right. I need to ask that question.
Right. Which, if you go back to what we're talking about, is no, because you're going to have more capital.
That's right.
But now, if you spend the capital and you waste it all, then yes, that could actually put you in a worse case.
Mm-hmm.
So what the goal is I have to look at the individual strategy and I have to understand as to if I can develop a strategy that will not only reduce the taxes that we talked about just by the one move, but I go in and I do two or three or four financial moves for the client with the intent of knocking that tax down and the future tax down, that's going to be a better strategy, especially if we go into a rising tax environment and a rising interest rate environment, because mm-hmm. that financial pressure is only going to get worse.
Right.
All right. So it's this, you know, macro view versus micro. In the micro, if you ran the numbers and everything was equal and the money, your money made 4% and your mortgage rates were 4% and your everything compounded at the same level, in a linear world, the discussion is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning I have the same amount of money in 10 years, I have the same amount of money in 15 years, I have the same amount of money in 20 years. It's just different. It's in different places. Once you move into opportunity and rates of return and nonlinear rates of return and increasing taxes, and, you know, if you think about it, what I didn't talk about is, and this is what people suffer, right? This concept is effectively a lot of people have this last 15 years of their income staying relatively level or worse, declining. Okay. And I see this everywhere. And their real estate taxes have gone up. They have kids that are driving, so their expenses have gone from, you know, their car insurance has gone from $3,000 for husband and wife to $8,000 for the husband and wife and this and the three kids that are driving. That's my car insurance, but you know, it's you know, all your other expenses are going up, and to get out of the grocery store has gone up. So the reality is you might have gone from a great savings rate to a negative savings rate,
right,
because of the financial pressures. Now, if your income's going up, you may not feel the burden of it. Okay. And this is – so strategic planning is, you know, yes, it's good to pay less interest. But if it's the tax deductible, I want to maximize the tax benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we use our you know, rising interest rate environment, and I have an 8% CD rate or money market rate 15 years from now, and I got a 4% mortgage, and there's no tax benefits on the mortgage, I still probably don't want to pay it off.
So here's my final question for you. So here's the objection that I would have if I was a micro financial services professional or CPA. John, what you're talking about to me is an unknown future projection / decision. Shouldn't we deal with what's in front of us instead of looking farther down the road?
So in front of us is right now, right?
That's what I mean by that, yeah.
Yeah. So right now, if I had two options to pay $90,000 of tax versus $85,000 of tax, right now, is it better to save $5,000 and put it in the bank?
Yes. Right. Which, again, that's what most people think. So, right.
Yes. Right. And is it better for me to have more liquidity outside of my house than it is to have inside of my house? Don't know the answer to that question,
right? Because
I don't know what's coming, all right? But I do know this: if I'm in control of my capital, I have more options to overcome those future pressures that are coming. If I have less liquidity, I have less options. If I'm paying more taxes, and my strategy is going to dictate if the interest rates go up and the tax rates go up, strategy A pays more than strategy B in taxes, so therefore I have less money. And it's not like I'm deferring and postponing. I'm actually getting a bigger tax benefit.
So I want to pause you there, because that is the distillation. That's that golden nugget of today's podcast. What John is talking about with this macro view is future opportunity. Instead of being impatient and taking your opportunity today, opening up the opportunities later down the road is much bigger. John, I want to tell you just a very, very quick story that I think will illustrate this. I was teaching my kids – I have twins. I was teaching them how to ride a bike. And so I got this really nice grassy hill, and I have my first son who's very, very impatient, and I let him go, and he's staring at the front tire, and he's overcorrecting, and then he goes and falls down. Now, I had told them that they were going to fall down, it was going to hurt, so they weren't crying and upset with me. And he, you know, dusted himself off in the grass stains and came back up. Now, my other son, I said to him, I said, look, I want you to look to the road. I don't want you to look at the front tire. And so I let him go. This kid goes all the way to the flipping road. Because he wasn't overcorrecting, he wasn't making snap decisions. And my other son goes, well, guess what, Dad? I guess I shouldn't have looked at my front tire.
Right.
When it comes to macro versus micro, what I think John is helping everybody do here, and everybody who's listening, understand taking a different viewpoint on this is really, really important, because things have fundamentally changed. John has been quoting, going back to 1981, where you could put money in a bank and get like 15% rate of return because interest rates were insane. We're not in that environment anymore. Are we ever going to get back into that environment? We really don't know. But making sure that you keep your options open and working with somebody like John Smallwood and his team, keeping those options open, to me, sounds like a really good idea. John, closing thoughts.
Just, you know, looking at the front tire versus, you know, you go where you're looking, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need to look ahead and know that pressure's coming. And I want to have the best possible strategy that every single year pays the least amount of taxes possible, makes the most amount of money with the least amount of risk, that has the most amount of benefits. That's the goal. There's really nothing else.
Yep.
And, you know, so from a strategic standpoint and a macro standpoint, when you think about things on a macro level, they make sense. You probably don't need to dig into the micro, because the macro, if it makes sense at the macro, it's going to make sense on the micro.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at a micro, it might make sense here, but it's creating all these other, you know, higher taxes and less liquidity, and all those things sound bad to me.
Yeah.
So my advice is, especially now with the new tax law, you really need to make sure that if you're going to itemize or get the standard deduction, you need to understand what value am I getting from these current financial products that I have, and are they organized in the most effective and efficient manner?
Right.
And that's it.
All right. Well, John, thank you very much for your thought leadership today.
Matt, thank you.
If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. So every time John comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. For John Smallwood and his team, this is Matt Halloran. We'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Welcome to the end of the video. Smallwood Wealth Management is an investment advisor representative. The opinions expressed by Smallwood Wealth Management and guests on this show are their own. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although it should not be relied upon as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Information presented for this educational purposes only. Moreover, no listener should assume that any discussions or information presented serves as a receipt of or substitute for personalized advice from Smallwood Wealth Management or from any other investment professional, and is not intended as an offer of solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Smallwood Wealth Management is not a law firm or an accounting firm, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation or objectives and is not intended as a recommendations appropriate for any individual. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Thank you for listening.